Hey, and welcome to the Healthy Fit Life podcast. I'm your host, Paul Hinton. Are you really busy with work but still want to prioritize your health? It's not impossible, and these awesome insider tips from my guest, Kade Junkerith, will help. Kade has been a fitness coach for 8.5 years and specializes in helping busy adults lose fat and build muscle. But please, before we begin, make sure to subscribe to the show so you don't miss any future episodes. It really helps us out and really helps us grow. So let's go ahead and get started today. Okay, thanks for hopping on the show. How are you doing today?
Doing great, Paul. I appreciate you having me, sir.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to discussing this. I think a lot of people that are listening fall into this bracket of busy professionals, and you know, everybody wants to be fit. So I think one of the big aspects, and let's just jump right into it, is time, right? So when you're training your clients, or maybe you've experienced this yourself, how do you find time for fitness in your busy life?
Great question. So I want to dissect the question, because finding time, I think it starts right there. You don't just, time's not just going to appear, right? We all got the same amount of time. So what I try to really enforce and just, get people to understand is you've got to prioritize it. You've got to make the time. Okay. Right. So it has to be a priority for you. I'm sure it's the same thing that you have to work on with your clients, right, Paul? We're not just going to magically get more time. It's about juggling everything else that we have going on and making sure that we can create the time and prioritize this as part of our life. So
I love that response and how you reframed it from finding time to prioritizing time. Because I think that's a really important mindset shift a lot of people have to make. But it's not an easy mindset shift, right? It's not something that just happens overnight. So let's say someone really wants to improve their health and genuinely just feels like they just don't have time. Mm-hmm. Where would someone start in that regards?
It's a great question too. I think it's important to really continuously audit what you're doing with your time. I'm not asking people to give up time with their family, right?
Right.
I'm not asking people to give up time in their career even. You've got to still have what's important to you in your life, and you can't sacrifice, other important things for fitness. But, it's almost 100% the case, across the board that most people have other things that maybe aren't as important that they're doing, that they could be, auditing and maybe getting rid of some of these things to add some time for fitness to really be a part of their lifestyle. So
yeah. No, I think it's a really great point that you bring up, is that I think it's awesome that you acknowledge that people have lives outside of fitness. And I think a lot of fitness professionals, we obsess over it and we focus on it, but other people have, family and kids and careers. They can't just go all in on fitness. So let's say someone really is in that boat, has a lot of things going on in their lives. I think sometimes we push, okay, you got to spend hours in the gym, but that's not the case, right? So how much time does really someone need to allocate to working out in the gym if they are just really busy?
Right. Yeah. And great point. And I love the way you're escalating the question more and more. It's perfect. So I would say, if you've got these huge lofty goals of, maybe like competing in powerlifting or bodybuilding or something like that, you're in a different boat. But I think for 99% of the population, you can get the job done with, honestly, 3 times a week, I think is, sometimes people can even get away with 2 really good workouts per week to make decent progress, mm-hmm. and get enough volume with their lifting. But I would say like the average person, 3 times a week, 30 to 45 minutes, you can make significantly good progress. Mm-hmm. And it's really just, looking at what are you doing now? Because if you're someone that doesn't work out at all right now, then 2 times a week, you're going to see significant progress with that, right? So it's kind of just meeting the person where they're at, seeing what they're doing. And it's just about like seeing how we can progress a little bit from what you are doing now. And maybe, audit, like I said, kind of some of the other things you're doing, see mm-hmm. if we can just make a little bit more time for fitness. And it doesn't even need to be in the gym, right? It can be adding in steps throughout your routine, adding in kind of NEAT, which is the non-exercise activity thermogenesis, just ways to get a little bit more active mm-hmm. and things like that. So
Yeah, I think I love how you talk about the audit and just going through, and I'm assuming that means just going through your day, but like let's break that down of sure. Maybe can you give an example of someone using that audit process to find more time for fitness in their life or going to the gym, right?
Sure. Yeah, I'll give my own example because I was someone who every single Sunday back, like, you know, in high school, even in college, I would watch the football games all day. Right. Like, yeah. And so yeah. That's basically, that's like a one day that's gone yeah. from that.
Right.
So that's literally like, you know, hours that I got back once I really kind of figured out that was something that was taking out up that much mm-hmm. of my time, you know, and I find that my fitness is more important than seeing every football game.
Right.
You know, so that's one example for me. And then, you know, even checking your screen time. So your phone mm-hmm. can literally track how much time you're spending on your phone.
Right.
So, you know, figuring out how much time am I spending on TikTok, it'll show you different apps that you're on and stuff like that, how many hours you're spending. So you can literally, like, even with the technology we have on our phones these days, you can pretty closely kind of see what you're doing, how you're spending your time throughout the week. So,
yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad you gave a personal example of that, because you're literally just going through and saying, okay, I need 45 minutes on, you know, 3 days a week, where can I find that time? And then just mm-hmm. going through and auditing, and it's taking minutes, right? You're not asking people to take hours. You're just taking minutes here and there, which right. adds up to 45 minutes, right? But I want to go back to the example you mentioned for yourself about watching football, which is common. Mm-hmm. I love watching football. A lot of people love watching football. When you realize that you're spending a lot of time on Sundays watching football, did you completely give it up, or did you find some sort of middle ground way, some way for you to enjoy watching football, but also find some time for fitness?
Right. Yeah. Good question. Yeah. I think it's all about, like, you know, finding that balance of how much time am I spending doing this? How much do I need to make room for to fit in fitness? It's not like you need to completely give up football, but right. honestly, like, if you're spending 12 hours on Sundays watching football and you're trying to say that you don't have time for fitness, then, then you could have at least spent 30 minutes in the gym on Sundays, you know, and that's a start. Right. Yeah. So, you know, like I said, with, you know, not giving up time with your family, even, you know, your career and like the important priorities that you have, you know, not making those sacrifices, but right. even it's not even so much making sacrifices for the other things. It's just making sure that you still are able to create that time to fit this in. And all I'm trying to get across with this, Paul, and I think you would agree, is just, you know, most people can give up some of those things and fit in fitness if they're saying they're just too busy to make it happen.
Right. Yeah, I 100% agree. And I love that approach of you're not asking people to give up, you know, the things they love, but just find some sort of moderation. And I think that's the right approach. And I want to go back to what you mentioned about goals, and you mentioned powerlifters and, of course, bodybuilders. You know, that takes a different level of dedication and time spent in the gym. But for someone that's just, you know, looking to improve their health, you mentioned, you know, maybe 2-3 days a week in the gym, which doesn't sound like a lot, but even that can be overwhelming. So maybe you can break down a day. So let's say someone wants to commit 3 days a week, 45 minutes. What would one of those workout sessions look like, a 45 minutes of strength training in the gym?
Sure. I like how granular you're getting with it. It's cool. So I would say, you know, a lot of people get started in lifting in the gym, and kind of the common approach you may find on the internet a lot of times, because it's kind of popularized by bodybuilders and things like that, is the kind of splitting up muscle groups, you know, working on arms, working on chest one day, working on back. But if you're someone that's trying to get the most bang for your buck in the gym, and you're really only trying to go these 2-3 times a week and mm-hmm. be as efficient and effective as possible, then you'd be much more better off doing at least upper lower, if not mm-hmm. full body workouts. Because right. you're able to hit a lot more muscle groups each time you go right. in, right? So that's probably the most efficient and effective way to work out with the time that you do have if you're limited on time. And then having a mix of strength and hypertrophy lifting, and trying to do a lot of supersets. So a superset, you know, I'm just saying, obviously, you know what a superset is, Paul, but I'm just explaining.
Break it down for us.
So just doing, you know, two exercises back to back that are opposing muscle groups so that, you know, you're kind of getting the cardiovascular effect of it. So then you really don't really, if you're doing this style of workout, you don't even really need to add in a whole lot of extra cardio in your routine. Right. So, you know, if you're doing a lot of supersets, giant sets where you're working just different muscle groups almost in circuit style, then you can get that cardiovascular aspect to it and get even more bang for your buck and be even more efficient with your time.
Right.
So you can go in, you know, 30, 45 minutes, you can hit all your muscle groups and not really rest much at all. So you're keeping your heart rate high. And, you know, so you're getting that cardiovascular aspect, you're hitting your muscle groups like you need to throughout the week. That's the way to be as efficient and effective as you possibly can if you're looking to maximize your time.
I completely agree. I think that if you're looking for maximum efficiency, which quite a few listeners are looking for, that, you know, being in the different sort of certain professions looking for maximum efficiency, I agree with you that that's the approach that I advise people to take. And I've done that same approach many, many times in the gym. But that I feel like, and you know, definitely, if you want to, if you disagree with me, I think that takes a certain level of education though to get to that level of granularity in terms of really maximizing workouts. So for someone that doesn't have that level of education, and I think the goal would be to get them to that point, right, where they're like, yeah, you know, I'm just going to do supersets with these and do this, this, and this. But for someone that doesn't have that, where would they start?
Right. Yeah, good question. I think that's really where meeting someone where they're at is where you need to focus in on, because, you know, like I said before, if you're going to do more than you're doing right now, you're going to be making progress, right?
Sure.
So if someone's not working out at all, then literally going in, I would say, you know, 30 minutes, two times a week, and just starting with the compound lifts, just meaning, you know, working multiple muscle groups at once. So we're talking our benches, or, you know, either with barbells or dumbbells or machines, but just working multiple muscle groups. So we're talking bench press, we're talking deadlift, squats, you know, even leg press, stuff like that. You know, going in, kind of maximizing your time. Maybe even starting with machines if they're super brand new, to just start working those muscle groups without having to worry too much about form. But just making sure you're working big muscle groups, and going in just, you know, maybe three sets each exercise, maybe four or five exercises each time you go in, and just keeping it pretty simple and just building from there. But that's a really good place to start. And then, you know, then you just are able to scale it up from there until you get to that point where you're supersetting everything and you're, you know, you're maximizing all your time and everything like that.
You're a gym pro at that point. But I think that's a really good point you bring up, you said something that I think is really crucial for people to understand, and people that are listening, is to start simple, right? You said 30 minutes, and or you can start with machines, starting somewhere, and then you said building on up from there to get to where you really want to go, I think is really crucial for people to understand when they see you. And I've you know, seen quite a few of your clips working out. You didn't start there, right? You had to build up to that and work your way up to that. I think it's really important for people to understand to start simple and then build up from there, right?
For sure. I mean, I don't know where you started, Paul, but everyone sucks at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
When I remember my first squat, like attempt to squat with just the barbell. I couldn't even get like 45 degrees down. Like, it was just so uncomfortable for me. So, you know, everyone's got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And one point I wanted to make too is you don't even necessarily need to start in the gym. If you're, you know, if you're super new to exercise in general and you're just trying to get started, I've got clients that even just use resistance bands or body weight to just get the ball rolling. And, you know, we usually have the goal to try to make it into the gym, because then you just have more access to more tools, but you don't have to go all in on the gym right away if you're just getting into it and trying to create these habits. So,
right. Right. And I think that's another really great point too, is that, it's really easy for people to look at us and you and I and think, okay, I got to also spend a lot of time in the gym, you know, hours, but that's not the case. But at what point, at a certain point, if you, whatever you, wherever you're starting, you're going to have to increase or do something more, right? And so how do people, they're still, they still have a lot of other priorities in their life. How do they make that determination in terms of, okay, I got to do a little more. I got to go a little longer. I got to add an extra day. How do they make that determination?
Sure. It's a good question. I would say, the first mode of progress you want to focus on, you don't always necessarily right off the bat need to try to be doing more as far as like, more exercises or more time in the gym. But maybe look at your intensity and your progress on the actual lifts first and make sure you're progressing on those. So that doesn't necessarily take more time, right? It just means that you're just making sure that each time you go in, you're doing a little bit heavier of lifts or maybe more reps. Right. And stuff right. like that. But I think the logging that stuff or just being mindful of that, that's probably the biggest thing in the beginning. I'm just tracking that progress, make sure you're right. progressing from workout to workout. Then maybe you kind of plateau and you maximize what you can do on certain lifts. And then, maybe start looking at if you can add more exercises to your routine, maybe see if you start supersetting some of that stuff like I alluded mm-hmm. to. Or maybe even, if it becomes super stale and you just don't know what to do, then seek mm-hmm. out that professional help because, me and you are both coaches. I'm sure I'd like to ask you, have you had coaches in your career when you've gotten to a certain point?
I have. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So even coaches need coaches. Everyone, yeah. everyone can benefit from an outside yeah. eye. And, especially if you feel like you're getting to a point where you're like, okay, what do I do next? Then that's the perfect time to seek someone out.
Yeah.
I
absolutely agree. And I think that, like you said, everybody needs help. And I got started with a coach and worked with them for 6 years. And I'm sure you've had people helping you out in your life. And I think that's, something that holds people back is they don't want to ask for that help. They want to just try to do it on their own. And, they quickly hit a wall. They just don't know what they're doing or they just get burnt out. But I want to shift focus a little bit. So, really going back to people who struggle to find time in the gym, and I'm going to kind of throw you a curveball here, but okay. What would be one, like your number one tip or hack for people who are struggling to find time for fitness in their life? Just one that you want people to focus on or think about.
Number one hack for people to find time to make it to the gym. I would say number one hack would be to, write down what you're spending your hours doing most of the days. So, it goes back to the audit thing and you can look at your screen time and mm-hmm. you can look at, if you have certain, hobbies or things that aren't as important to you as you want fitness to be in your life. Yeah. Something I do a lot is journal. I think journaling can be very effective. So just being more reflective on what you're spending your time doing, I would say, there's not really hacks to find. A lot of times we see like in marketing, fitness hacks and stuff like that. There's certain ways to make things a little bit easier. But it just comes back to looking at how you're spending your time and prioritizing fitness being something that's important to you. And seeing if you might be able to replace, some of the less important things you're spending your time with to create these new habits. So,
I that's a fantastic answer, and I think you hit on a couple really good points that I want to reiterate, and maybe we can kind of go in a little deeper detail on because you said that there is really no hack, but we see the word hack thrown around a lot. Oh, hack, there's a hack for this, hack for that. But at the end of the day, like you said, it just comes down to prioritization and just doing some self-reflection, right? So how do you help people shift that mindset, right? Of, okay, I just need to prioritize things in my life and stop searching for, the shortcuts or the hacks or the little tips and tricks on social media that can, I think, will help.
Right. Yeah. I think reframing it to, we need to make sure that your mindset is where we want it to be to make sure you're ready for this journey. And if you're just looking for the easiest way to make it happen, then you're honestly setting yourself up for failure because, it's not going to be super easy. Like I'll be honest,
right.
a fitness journey is meant to be hard. It's meant to challenge yourself, but that's where the reward comes from. Anything in your life worth having is difficult, right? It's mm-hmm. it's challenging, but because that challenge is where we grow. So you're literally growing from that challenge physically and mentally. And this is something, you know, I've kind of evolved in my coaching. Do I feel like most of what I talk about with my clients these days is mindset? So I would say just kind of like fostering an environment where, you know, you're in a group with people, you know, maybe join a community, or just meet new like-minded individuals that are trying to better themselves, trying to grow, and aren't expecting things to be easy. But they're ready to face challenges head on, and grow and just like become better. So kind of just like being around those people and trying to help yourself create that mindset, to be ready for challenges that will help you grow in the long term.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love to hear that you had a mindset shift as a trainer. And I've talked to many, many trainers, and I feel like the ones that get it have to have that mindset shift, right? I've shifted my mindset around training. And I'm glad to hear that you did the same thing. When it comes to that mindset, though, that we talk about that having that mindset of you want to improve yourself, when some of your clients, I'm sure they get to that point where they're just burnt out and not motivated, and they're like, you know what, I can't do this anymore. I just don't have the time. How do you help people get over that hump or that hurdle?
Sure, really good question. So I did a whole coaching call with my clients pretty recently about getting out of a slump. And it's something that happens a lot. You know, me and you, Paul, it's not like we're just because we're coaches. It's not like we're just chronically motivated. We don't just wake up and we're like, I'm ready to get after it every single day. Right. And you're going to fall into times where you just don't feel motivated.
Right.
But I think the first step, what I talked about with them was, you know, recognizing you're in a slump, recognizing that your mindset just or your motivation just isn't as high as it may be on other days. So recognizing it and then taking steps, really small steps to try to turn that around. So, you know, there's literally little dopamine hits you get from the smallest tasks. So the journaling I found has been very powerful for me. If I'm in a slump or low motivation, especially in the morning, if I just do literally 2 minutes of journaling, and it's positive, you know, reflection, that's a small task that gives me that little dopamine hit. And those little dopamine hits from these small tasks start to snowball, and it leads to bigger tasks.
Right.
So recognizing you're in a slump and then just taking these really easy baby steps to get out of that is probably the best way to propel you towards the bigger things that you're trying to accomplish and get done. So.
Yep. I agree. I think action trumps motivation, and it helps me out. I agree. There are times when I don't want to go work out, don't want to go to the gym. But just putting on my shoes and just saying, hey, I'm just going to put on my shoes and just start moving. I end up at the gym. So I completely agree. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I completely agree with you on what you said, where the action leads to the motivation. Yeah. When most people think that the motivation precedes the action. Like, I need to get motivated to take the action.
Yeah.
But like it's literally these small actions, putting on your shoes, like you said, you know, putting your headphones in, driving to the gym, that's going to get you motivated to actually work out. So.
Yeah, I think one of the common things I hear, I hear a lot, I don't have time. And the other thing is I'm not motivated, right? And I always think, well, gotta take action. Action comes before motivation. So I'm glad, I feel like that's starting to I hear that more often from trainers and coaches, which I think is really good, right? Because that idea or that thought that people have that you have to be motivated and then go do something holds people back so much, right? When it's really just action. So I'm really glad you said that. It's fantastic. I love it. I agree. But I want to talk about your training program really quickly, because we kind of briefly touched on that a little bit. So what is your training program look like? Or do you have some sort of class coming up or some sort of something going on coming up for your training program?
Sure. Yeah. So my training program, you know, I specialize in helping busy adults. So really that's kind of who I work best with, just because I'm a busy adult myself, right?
Yeah.
Most people are busy. And so I try to create the most efficient and effective way that you can reach your goals. And so we fostered a community of a lot of really ambitious, you know, like-minded individuals. We've got a pretty good community together now, and everyone's just feeding off that. You know, I'm trying to post everyone's wins and transformations. Yeah. Yeah. And when you're seeing that, it's like seeing is believing. So really it's just trying to foster a community of like-minded individuals,
right?
And meeting them where they're at, you know, because I have a spectrum of all different types of clients, right? You know, I've got one bodybuilder client, I've had a couple of powerlifter clients, all the way down to someone that's just getting started. They've never worked out in their life, right? So, but we can meet you where you're at. Everything's completely custom, right? You know, I'm sure you're the same way, Paul. It's not like you just have one program that you shoot to everyone, you know? So it's just meeting them where they're at, seeing their experience level, seeing what we can get them started on. And like we talked about, kind of scaling it from there to push them and progress. So, but with where to get started, like you were saying, I do have a free course that I'd like to promote to your audience. If anyone's interested, it's just, I created a free course with nutrition, training, mindset. And it's just honestly a collection of my best coaching calls from the past few months with my clients, all in one organized spot. So if anyone's interested, I can send them that link. So
nice. Yeah. I'll include that. Make sure to include that link in the podcast notes. So that sounds like a really fantastic program. And we touched on a couple of the points from your training program, right? Like efficiency, community, which are, you know, extremely important. So that's awesome. Sounds like you have a really all-encompassing training program that kind of meets your clients' needs, which is fantastic. But Kate, thank you again for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. I think the audience is going to get a lot out of this, or got a lot out of this, and touched on some amazing points that are going to be transformational for some people.
I appreciate it, Paul. I appreciate you having me, sir.
Awesome. Well, that was today's episode, and thank you very much for listening. And make sure to check out Cade on the social media links in the podcast notes, which I'll provide. And if you're a fan of the show, please do me a huge favor and leave a review if you enjoyed listening to this episode or listening to any of the episodes I've released in the past. And until next episode, take care of yourselves, and remember, the best project you'll ever work on is you.